Motion to accept minutes for file? Unless there are any comments.
Did Commissioner Bond have some to straighten out? Yeah, because on page two,
it says, it's all kind of funny when it comes down to the senior report, I gave a report.
It says it.
It says Commissioner.
It says on the, I wasn't here, but I was.
Well, did you arrive late? Because it shows you arriving.
I was there.
That wouldn't show her as present at that time.
Yes, believe we at roll call you were not here, but then the minutes do reflect, and when they're accepted, that you were you did arrive prior to A2.
Okay then. Motion to accept minutes for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Terrific. Okay, and now we are going to move on to announcements.
I have some announcements.
Great.
Oh, I left it off. I turned off that time. This is going to be a really... the butterflies are back in Pismo Beach, and there are thousands of them. And if you come down and see them, because this is the busy month for them, and this is the highest month for them. So if any of you want to see the monarch butterflies, come down to Pismo Beach State Park and take a look at them. Bring your camera. The Small Wilderness Preserve on the 13th of January is having a walk and talk at 9 o'clock. Also on the 17th is a bird festival. And the monarch festival.
Terrific, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. The butterflies, do they come anywhere in Morro Bay where they gather in droves?
They don't have a grove, but they are some.
They have a. They have some that's in the golf course, so that we don't. They don't. You have to go through the golf course to get to them.
Okay, thank you.
But we do have them.
Okay. Any other announcements, commissioners? I do have one. The Del Mar School Art Auction is in full swing. We are gearing up for our art auction. And at this time, we are looking into our business community and our families in Morro Bay and asking them for any donations of goods or services that they would have that they would be willing to donate. Del Mar School is the only elementary school in Morro Bay. It is the largest Title I school in the San Luis Coastal USD. And this is their largest fundraising event of the year. It provides money for the field trips, for the assemblies, for art supplies, music programs, and other extracurricular activities for the kids. New business, seeing no other announcements. A1, review of the Recreation and Parks Commission's bylaws and policies and procedures. That should be in front of you.
Good evening, Chair Solu and Commission. A1's brought to you by a decision by the City Council. Last December, they would ask staff to take current bylaws to their respective advisory boards for review and possible revisions if you felt necessary. To recommend back to them. They felt there was several items of concern and of interest, although all parts of the bylaws are important. The frequency of meetings, the number of commissioners that are on your board, and also the meeting cancellation policy. So at this time, I would send it back to the chair for the leading of the discussion regarding the bylaws.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Okay. So let me open up to questions first and see what questions you have and what questions we can answer together as a group.
So Joe, the only concerns were the three concerns.
That's correct. Chapter 1 in the meeting guidelines and procedures from the City Council's policies and procedures. Regarding section 1.1.2.1, which is the regular meetings, you'll see that it's highlighted there. The exception in the case for canceling of a meeting would be in case of an emergency. The regular meeting must be canceled by an affirmative vote by the majority of the council, in this case commission, at the previously noticed meeting. In essence, what it means is that if you want to cancel February's meeting, you must do so either at tonight's meeting or a meeting that was set prior to that was properly noticed. So, and the exception obviously is an emergency where you know a number of things can occur. So I would present a couple of options for you after reviewing at the staff level that policy could remain the same, which has its pluses and minuses, but a little bit more leeway for its staff viewpoint is that if somewhere between a week or 2 weeks, somewhere where the agenda is being set by the chair and by staff, that not enough information was going to be presented at the meeting, not a public hearing, and very very light, if other than just having, you know, voting on it on a regular meeting prior to a cancellation. So if there was a, if we felt we needed to cancel the meeting 2 weeks before the meeting, like I said, lack of information, or we found out that, you know, we're not going to have a quorum because we've got vacations planned, then we could have some action that would be, you know, within the guidelines.
So we would need to make some kind of wording, come up with some kind of wording to change or insert here in the 1.1.2.1. And would that be tonight, or would that be, can we take this, discuss it tonight, and then bring it back?
Staff would like to take some recommendations back. I mean, I don't know if you felt like we needed to bring something, if you wanted to change this, we could work on some wording and come back to you. But if you have some specific wording that had very detailed or at least some specific direction, we could write that and send it up to council.
Joe, is the council looking for us to come up with wording, or if we just leave it alone the way we are, that's okay too?
Definitely.
But we don't have to put that out in any kind of verbiage. It's already been established. Is that correct?
If you feel there's no change necessary in the cancellation policy, other than the three, there's more to mm-hmm. the bylaws. If you felt that we needed to change something was just not right, we should discuss it and maybe take a vote and then recommend that staff forward your recommendation to the city council. And if it was to go to city council, then they would want to review it and then vote on it. You know, they just don't change policy because it's been recommended. Mm-hmm. But they would certainly take it under advice.
I could see changing that first paragraph as you suggested, because not only last month, but I know in previous years we've canceled because of not enough or to put on the agenda. So I could see that change mm-hmm. being put in there. And then do it either phone call or email.
Email, yeah, including
emails, yeah.
Correspondence.
But I'm not sure if we have to put that verbiage in there. Just
So you're saying that cancellation of a meeting in case of an emergency or as determined between the chair
staff and chair that
ability for making changes that upon the request of either the chair of the commission or staff.
I would say that doing this, if we don't have enough information to form an agenda and have a meeting, we should know that by 2 weeks out, 2 weeks to 10 days out. Is that correct?
We would certainly know prior to the legal posting of the meeting.
Right, exactly. So having said that, then...
I don't know if we should narrow it down to just not enough agenda items. I think maybe we should leave it a little bit more flexible.
Because the other is in here, in case of emergency.
The other one is if we don't have enough folks.
Enough
commissioners.
Maybe I can present some wording that would help you out and see if this works out. We would take the except in case of emergency, comma, add mutually agreed upon by staff and chair prior to the legal posting of the meeting, and then continue with a regular meeting can be canceled by an affirmative, and
right.
keep that in there as well.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. And that doesn't limit the scope, so it just allows for more flexibility in
keeping. No, we should probably bundle them together.
Bundle. Okay.
If you have any more changes, then what we could do is I'll make the list of your proposed changes if there's any more, and then I can run them through at the conclusion, and then we can have a formal motion at that time. So maybe we could tackle some of the things that were of interest, if nothing else on the bylaws pop out, and which would be the appointment. Your commission, Recreation Parks Commission, comprises of 7 members. If you're feeling that 7 members is an adequate number to represent the needs of the community and parks and recreation issues, then we should move on to the next particular concern. If you feel that there's 7 is too many, and that we rarely have 7, if you feel that there should be more, I would certainly open it up for discussion at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, let's open it up for discussion amongst ourselves. 5 versus 7. Can't imagine us going up to 9. We can go up as large as 9, as little as 5. And right now we sit at 7, right in the middle of that. So 7, we have to have 4 show up.
Active quorum, you have more people involved in the discussion. If you've got all 7 there, then you have a lot more viewpoints. If we were going with 5 and we had a critical issue come up, and say 3 of us were on there and we all felt the same, it's someone else is not here to give their differing viewpoint, I feel it's a little biased. I like the idea of 7, seriously.
I agree also, 7's good. I believe in the past we did bring it down to 5, maybe for a year or something like that.
I remember when I first came on there were 5, but that was because we had lost some people, and it was, and that's the other thing, if we lose people in the middle of their terms, then
7 gives us that flexibility right there for that
too. I like 7, but let's see what Judy has.
No, I entirely agree with Jeff. I think 7 is a good number. Decision making with just 3 people, it doesn't maybe give a broad enough viewpoint. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we like 7 and we'll stay there, Joe. Is that true, commissioners? Okay.
Well, I'm actually turning the page on the bylaws and the next few things. So as far as terms of the office, obviously, you have the members serve without compensation, and you're appointed for 4 years. And you'll note because some of the terms have come up, and they're coming up now. Norma took a partial term, and hers will be up at the end of this month. So you're seeing how some of this, the terms work and how they fluctuate and have only 3 members going off at a time. We have a unique situation where we have a resignation, where we have 4. Going off, and we'll be trying to recruit for more commissioners for the upcoming openings. So if you're agreeing with the terms of office and you're looking at qualifications and nothing's coming to mind, continue through, and then we can discuss anything that comes up that you feel that you want to ask questions about, or you feel this needs to be changed.
The only thing is with our 7-member board that I'd like to make sure is that we have a few members from varying segments of the society. So, for example, we definitely want to continue on having a senior member, somebody who represents parents and children, student parent, somebody from the business sector, an individual at large. I'd like to see us continue with that and make sure that the board doesn't end up with,
May I interject, please? Pardon me. The diversity of the commission comes from the council, and they have in their rules and regulations, policies and procedures, states that they're going to be looking for not only professional people but also people of lay experience who can bring that diversity to the commission.
Okay, good.
Okay, so at their appointment, I think that's where you want to keep. That there are certain positions you certainly would want to maintain and fill, your senior representative, and so far. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to make the comment that it'd be hard to impose any actual, to actually mandate that in the bylaws, just because it's also very dependent on who presents themselves for, you know, to fill those positions. So it's sort of, it's a bit of a lottery, too, to a certain extent. But, yeah.
And that's the very reason why they accept applications. They hold interviews, mm-hmm. and the city council certainly discusses the merits of every candidate and makes an individual.
Terms of office is good the way it is, as well as qualifications. I think we got two right there, didn't we?
Yeah. So, Joe, if you wouldn't mind telling us back the change that we wanted to make at the beginning so that we could...
Could I bring forth one other item regarding this?
Of course
matter?
You could.
Thank you. The frequency in which we meet, right now it's on a monthly basis, and there's been some talk about the desire of having advisory boards meet on a less frequent basis. Maybe every other month would be in consideration, with the opportunities to host meetings in between those months. If you feel that that's something that you want to discuss, or you feel that a monthly meeting is still relevant and efficient as far as our business goes, that's fine as well. But I would just have you entertain that for discussion if you felt that was necessary.
Discussion, anyone?
Shall I dive in?
Go, Judy, go.
There might be some merit to maybe every other month, in the sense that, for example, the reports, it would and then with the option to call meetings more frequently when we do have bigger projects, for example, when we were dealing with the Del Mar Park, or if there's any big renovations or important work actively going on, then switch gears to back to once a month. But I think there's some merit to every other month, that there is some repetition sometimes that might not be necessary to go through every month.
I agree. I do see some repetition, but then I worry about the, please no offense meant, Joe, the glacial speed at which we already move as we kind of steer our floating iceberg along. Will we, no offense, please, will we be moving at even, a slower clip if we go down to every other month? And then, you know, I just look at that. I'm not sure. I agree with you that we do have quite a bit of, you know, things that come up that are repetition,
right. But and there are some key projects where you do, if you're not meeting monthly, they will, you know,
slow down,
be on the back burner, and
even slower. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing. I don't know what you guys think.
I think by leaving it monthly and inserting what we discussed earlier into the first one, into the bylaws, that gives us the flexibility that if we don't have enough for that next month, we can cancel, versus trying to get everybody together and saying, hey, we're having a meeting, can you make it this month? It'd be easier to leave it every month, and then with that insertion we're going to make, then we can just say, hey, not enough for this month, let's cancel.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
I like to think of, the people out in the public. Say we started meeting every other month, and a big issue came up that was, close to the hearts of quite a few people. Now, if we're meeting every other month, and this issue came up, and they had to wait a month to get to talk to us, they're going to be a lot angrier. It's to have things go along on a regular basis. Yeah. It's not just us; it's the whole city. And there's no one here tonight in the in our audience, but oftentimes there are. We got to think about.
Certainly, would note that as an interest.
Yeah, I like Johnny's point of, you know, if there really isn't anything to field, then, you know, within the correct noticing period before it's posted, then, you know, we go ahead and 2 weeks out, we remove ourselves from having the meeting. But I think that also if we go into every other month, it's, oh, did they have their meeting last month? Or, you know, is it this month? Wait, So.
And it's true. It's a good point. It's hard enough remembering what happened last month, let alone remembering what happened 2 months ago. But one thing I wanted to just throw out there is another option is, again, just to lighten up the load for staff, do we need to have reports every month? Maybe we can have reports only every other month. Would that be an option?
Reports even quarterly, some of them.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Are you referring to the section under D?
Yes.
D1, 2, and 3?
Yes.
Yeah, D1, 2.
Like tonight you'll be presented with 2 months' worth. And it seems to be rather digestible. It has in the past, so I certainly can take that under consideration.
Okay.
And that would be something that we would not be forwarding to City Council.
Right.
Council to amend their policies and procedures, section 1.1.2.1, taking up after an emergency mutually agreed upon by staff and chair prior to legal posting of a regular meeting. Would be the second exception to a cancellation without having voted on at a regularly posted meeting prior to that cancellation. Is that what we have? And the staff would look for a motion to for that recommendation to go to council.
The recommendation would be to forward the change in paragraph 1.1.2.1. As stated, to insert after emergency. In case of emergency, that it's mutually agreed upon by staff and the chair person that
we
would cancel that month's meeting.
And we had I may have missed that. Was it to a legally posted meeting? Okay.
Yes.
One moment. Okay. And so let us move on to then A2, the discussion of the 2009 Slo Capra Commissioners Workshop.
Chair Solo Commission. The 2009 Commissioners Workshops brought to you by the SLO County Association of Recreation and Parks Administrators, also known as SLO CAPRA. They put on this event annually for commissioners throughout the county to participate in and better their service and their identity with their respected boards and commissions. This year's event is going to be held again at Hearst Castle. It is going to be on February the 21st, which is a Saturday. The program begins at 9. There is a check-in and continental breakfast at 8:30. And the tour, the program begins at 9 and goes till a little after 12. And then there is a tour that occurs at 12:45 to 2:45. This year's program features are CPRS Executive Director Jane Adams presents Build the Brand. Building the Brand is a CPRS initiative that helps agencies and professionals brand. New commissioners benefit from the ideas and the discussion that revolve around the Advocacy 101 program. Concluding is the tours of the Pecos Blancas Lighthouse and the Elephant Seal Reserve, with the update on the Hearst Castle State Park development. So we would, if you have any questions regarding this commissioner's workshop, I'd be happy to answer them. And we certainly would like to know those of you who would like to attend.
Anyone?
When do you need that information by, Joe? I mean, did you want that tonight? Or
can we
call you next week?
Please call in, talk with Barbara. And so we'll put your name on the list. This registration form does not have a deadline to sign up, but you have to sign up prior to it. There's no on-site registration.
Okay.
So I believe I have a meeting with Slo Capra the first Friday of February. So if I can know by then, I can bring my complete list with the check.
Hold up. We could carpool up again if any of you are interested in that.
I was there last year, too. It was pretty good. Very interesting. Tour was nice and way to end the day, too. It was fun.
Okay. So let's just all either get back to Joe and Barbara via email or telephone and let him know by the first Friday of February. Okay, then no action on that. We shall move on to A3, the Recreation and Parks Department Program Evaluation. Joe?
Chair Solo and Commission, tonight we have three program evaluations to present to you, and I will briefly go through all three, and at the conclusion would be recommending that the Commission make a motion to accept all three for file. Beginning with the Holiday Tree Lighting Program, it's an annual event, very family-oriented. It takes place up at City Park. Our holiday tree is the main tree up at the Triangle. At this year's program, we had a dance performance by the Morro Bay High School Choir. They took the stage, which we used as the basketball court, and that was led by Colleen Wall. The Morro Bay High School Chamber Choir performed several songs, and four were sing-alongs. After the choir, and we did serve hot cider and cookies. There is a financial impact to go along with this program. Our direct costs were slightly under $1,000 at $996. That includes staff time and all the supplies. Indirect costs were are geared at $514, and that is, if you're curious about what that is, that's staff, that's supporting putting the lights on the tree, checking electricity, arranging, shopping, reserving costumes, going and picking those up, and so forth. The cost recovery obviously is zero, but the total cost of the program is a little over $1,400. Special thanks should go out to the key community members that did attend. We had a Delmar, a school principal, some council members, the mayor, and also the city manager. And certainly worth noting and a deep appreciation to the donation of $100 to the dance studio and a donation of $100 to the Morro Bay High School Choir provided by Keith and Cheryl Taylor and Stan and Janice House. So if you see them out there, certainly thank them for their support. One soccer program, and this program is obviously an annual program. The direct costs for the program were a little over $12,000. Indirect costs were slightly over $2,100. Total expenses $14,100. The registration fee brought in about $13,500. We did lose $564. Cost recovery at 96%. This is a target merit service, which is target recovery at 70 to 79%. And we did exceed our target cost for this program. Just to cap off, we did have 148 boys and girls playing in the league. We did experience some success in the Cal Poly Soccer Buddies program, which is dynamite. Kids go out and they have time to spend with the college soccer team. And we are definitely going to continue working with Cal Poly and the Soccer Buddies program, as well as their collaborative effort on a coaches clinic. So it's been a really good relationship. We're going to try to continue that. We will discontinue including socks and shorts in the registration from the U.S. Soccer Foundation that provided us a set of goals that are 7 by 21. And with that comes a little bit of a safety issue, so we'll see on our recommendations. We want to make sure that staff and coaches are safe around those goals. The third program for evaluation tonight is the 2008 fall adult softball. The fiscal impact for this program, the direct costs were $12,579, and that includes the list that you see in front of you. The indirect costs are two things: cost allocation, which is per participant at $1,700, and the light surcharge, which goes into our lighting replacement fund out of Kaiser. And so the total expenses were a little over $15,000. Revenues from registration fees were close to $13,000. Cost recovery was 85%. And we do give you a paragraph that pulls out the indirect cost and shows that there would be a net gain if you did not include that. We had 26 teams participating. We had four leagues. A couple of recommendations to note that we will continue registering with both a banner situation. That concludes the three program evaluations. I certainly would open it up for questions at this time for any or all three.
I do have a question. On the youth soccer, there were several problems with the reversible jerseys that came up, and one of them was that the quality of the adhesion material that stuck the letters and numbers and the soccer and basketball on there came off in the washer and dryer. And in addition to that, many, many complaints from the children that they were hot because it's like wearing two shirts because they're a double thickness because they're reversible. And so I wasn't sure if you wanted to take those back to staff to discuss for the future, because I know that we're using them for basketball this year, but when you're, I could see their point about, you know, when they're sprinting back and forth up and down a field and they've got on two shirts that they can't layer off, it's, well, it's hot. And then if we do stick with those, perhaps getting a better quality adhesion material for the letters and numbers.
We'll certainly approach both those concerns. I would say this is that the too hot of the shirt, as far as, you know, for the activity, we'll have to. I'd like to see how it works in the basketball, and then get a comparison, see if it's the sport or time of year or what they're doing. And the letters that are sticking, some of them are working very well, some aren't. And that might be a quality control issue, because we do have volunteers doing all the work, putting on the letters, and it's basically a four-step process because they're inside, outside, on both sides. So, and there's quite a few of them, and it takes some physical strength and so forth. So if it is an issue, and some of them are working, some aren't, and it, maybe it's just that, then we just give a little more direction and more supervision at that part of the process. But the too hot, we'll certainly have a discussion and take some informal polling and do a little more inquiry on that.
Okay.
On another topic, just as fun, I have a quick question. Porta potties. The fee that we see on the youth soccer is number of events, and I'm wondering if it's worth investing into a couple just to have them handy for all our events. Just an idea. It might not be the most practical thing to store.
So are you suggesting maybe a long-term contract that would include service of it?
No, I'm thinking if we owned, if Parks and Recs owned their own porta potties that could be used for all the events that we put on throughout the year, would it be cost efficient rather than having to rent them out for each event?
It may be cost efficient at first sight, but I think that there will be some other concerns that we would have. Sanitation's one.
Yeah.
And service, and where, and how do we collect it, and where do we dump it?
Right.
And so forth, and so, and okay. Then also the personnel that do that. I believe that they're special licensing to handle solid waste.
Okay.
And that whole collection that goes along with it.
Okay.
So we're trying not to use them as much as possible, but oftentimes we're in a situation where we have to.
And oh, sure. Yeah.
You'll see us come back with some at the Rock to Pier Run because of the need there. But as far as a long term, like I said, we try not to use it as much in this program. If not, I would look for a motion to accept for file.
Motion to accept staff reports for file, D1 through D3. No.
Item
B1.
A3?
A3.
Sorry. A1 through A3.
Second then.
All in favor? I'm sorry, discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Now we move to B, unfinished business, B1, Recreation Parks Department status report.
Chair Solon, Commission. B1's brought to you every meeting to get you updated. I'm going to spare you reading all of these items. I'm hoping that you had your packet and you've gone through them. And if you have some special questions at my conclusion, please do so. Special note comes to Del Mar Tennis Courts. As you notice, I have attached an email that came from the State Office of Grants and Local Services, who have put a freeze on all bond funding. And that affects two programs that we're involved in. One is a balance of $70,000 from the per capita bond, and that has a freeze on it. And the $238,000 monies that are available, or if they will not be available. So they may be unfrozen and available. They may be just absorbed and not available again. So really the verdict is out. The ball is in, so to speak, in the state's hands. And we're hoping that they're going to be meeting later at the end of this month, and that some more information will be coming our way. The community pool, the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation has submitted a draft of the MOU, and staff is reviewing that. The web tides on the web, the spring edition will be out sometime in February, and that handles March, April, and May. Please note that Del Mar Park, we're hoping to get this project to the Planning Commission. The last sentence there says the 5th, should be the 19th. And that's the dog park. And a note on the junior lifeguard program. Our application has been approved for an accredited program. And staff will be working with the county harbor department to make this program available to all potential employees January the 12th. And a special note, the last paragraph, community center, we did have the building tented and fumigated for termites. If you picked up the Bay News, you probably saw that the tent was shredded and ripped open by 50-mile-an-hour winds. And there were several concerns from members of the community, we found out about the situation. We've contacted the termite control company, and we've gone through all of our concerns, and we feel that this procedure and fumigation was effective. If there's any activities of termites between now and 5 years, it's under warranty, and so we'll have them come back. It's just a matter of having the logistics and getting services out, which was difficult. But most of the gas stays in. It's heavier than air. Even though we had openings, gas is in, and it has to be forced out. So just a little bit of working knowledge there. So that concludes my update on the status report. If you have any questions, I'd be certainly happy to answer them at this time.
Questions for Joe?
At this time, SLOCOG is working on that project, which is County of Governments, and I believe there is some discussion at the bike committee, and they're having a meeting that's coming up. So if you'd like, in my next update, I can try to get some hard dates, some hard projected dates, and where they may be accomplished, and some milestones that they may be set for the connector.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
I think I should make a motion.
Yeah, and so if there's no other questions for Joe, then I'll take a motion.
Motion to accept B1 for file.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. C, written communication, citizens' reports and correspondence, C1.
Chair Solon, Commission. C1's brought to you when we have correspondence or citizens' reports. We have one citizen report we're bringing forward today, at Monty Young was reported that an individual is playing and they noticed some broken plexiglass on the play structure and jagged edges and so forth.
Any discussion? Okay, so I believe we have to take a motion on that, right?
Yes.
Do we? On citizens reports?
I think we just accept that for file.
Okay. Then we shall. And then we move on to D1, 2, 3, and 4. D1, 2, and 3 we usually take together.
Chair Solon, Commission, I will present D1, 2, and 3 together for your consideration for file. D1 is the monthly participation report for the Youth Services Division, the month of October 2008. There's a lot of information. Let me just note on all three of these, there's 2 months each. If you have any items that you want me to go back and talk to, please do. I'll just highlight some of the things that may be of concern. We had a large decrease in our dog obedience program. We did have an increase in life drawing, quilting, and 39+. We also had a large increase in all of our Kids Club programs. This is one of the few months we can actually present something that was, we have larger participations from the year to date. We do, however, want to note that the upward trend in Kids Club and the child cases. So we're looking at that as a trend, and we're hoping that it doesn't occur. But if it does, we'll be reporting back to you. We did change our hours in the skate park, and those hours are down. We do have an increase at the teen center, and we have a difference of approximately 700 participants from the year to date. Additional information, Thursday, October the 16th, we did have a Kids Club celebrated lights on after school with a bike parade, the course, as you remember, a bike safety lesson, and some participation with the Morro Bay Police Department. Terrific program. For the month of November 2008, you'll see Kids Club and the child care down slightly from year to date. We do have an increase because of a new program, the Monday Morning Club, and the Teen Center shows an increase as well that month. Additional information for the Youth Services Division includes Rockies held its annual Halloween Haunted House Halloween party on the 1st of November, Saturday, and I think it went really well. And I think we're going to be doing that again next year. D2 is the participation report for gymnastics, fitness class, and you'll see the junior lifeguard program is holding its own at about 1,500 participants. We did have an increase in youth soccer. And on the opposite side of this is November 2008. A decrease in the adult softball league by about 1,000 participants. And basically, as you lose a team or two, it adds up exponentially as the season goes on. We were down significant numbers in the martial arts class due to the loss of our, moving away, of our instructor. So we're kind of backfilling on that. And that concludes some highlights on the youth sports, or I should say recreational sports. The last report brought to you is D3, Facilities and Parks, a summary report for October 2008. It looks like our year-to-date hours of use for the Morro Bay Community Center were roughly the same. It looks like, the facility's subtotal was about $5,700. And a new program, Cal Poly, came out and did a housing event where they were training their housing staff for the upcoming year. And Cultural Collective Group had a fundraiser. For the month of November, we had a slight decrease, in some of the hours used in both the community center and the Vets Hall and the library. We did have increases in Monty Young and Del Mar. Those totals were slightly under 9,000 hours of use, and we had 3 wedding receptions during the month of November, and they totaled close to 500 participants. That concludes D1, 2, and 3. Certainly would open it up for any questions on any one of these items at this time.
Any questions, commissioners?
I have just a general question. As far as recreational sports and youth services are concerned, does staff, how can I put this question? How do you decide which activities are offered? Do you regularly go through the program and decide or check as to what is being offered with other Parks and Recs departments across the county? And
just come in with a unique skill set, whether they teach a certain style of yoga or they have a certain art a class that they teach.
Okay.
And then we would review that proposal for a class and to see if it did fit in our program. Cost is a factor, mm-hmm. available as far as time, what's their target audience, and so forth. We do rely on other cities and what they're doing. When futsal happens, we play futsal because mm-hmm. we play other cities
okay.
In that sport. So there are seasonal sports that we want to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
To keep them going. And some of these contractual classes are based on the contractor. If we have no one to teach martial arts, we're not going to be offering martial arts.
Okay.
Oftentimes we feel a need that, hey, we really want this class. It's gone over well. We're losing the instructor. Let's advertise
okay.
for an instructor. And so we'll do that too.
Okay.
So, and oftentimes there's a limit. If we have a new class, we'll try it out. There'll be a period of time where we'll evaluate. There'll be a certain minimum number of participants. Mm-hmm. If we don't get that, we'll drop the class.
Okay.
So there's criteria. We just don't bring them in and say, yeah, you can go on forever. We'll monitor and we evaluate
okay.
and then we do get recommendations from you. The commission should mm-hmm. certainly be involved in some things that we should be pursuing. If you feel we need to pursue
other activities,
you know, whatever it is, we certainly would take some staff time to research that.
Okay.
So it's a good question. Thank you.
If I could put a question to Commissioner Vaughn, we'd had a talk approximately about a year ago, taking in the fact that we do have a senior community that is actually more important percentage-wise than the children's community.
More prevalent.
And figuring out how to tailor our services to the needs of the community. So I'm wondering if, as a senior representative, is that something you could bring up at a meeting, one of the next meetings, and suggest, are there any other activities the seniors would like to see being offered by Parks and Recs that are not currently available? Is that something you've had discussions about in the past, maybe?
No, we haven't. Have we had any discussions except for the emeritus classes that came in? And we don't have, when people want something, they'll come in and they'll say, you know, we'd like to have a group that does this and we do that. So we do give it a try, you know, and they're the only ones that show up. Or
right.
if we get a number of them that want to do it, then we'll fit it in. So it's okay. up to the senior community to come in and say, you know, I want this program. I like to see this program. Or I like to see that program,
mm-hmm.
and then we do our best to accommodate.
Yeah, if I could add on to what Commissioner Vaughn has said, some of the programs that they offer are very passive programs.
Mm-hmm.
They may be just a small a pinochle group that plays cards.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a small knitting or arts and crafts group. So you may not be aware of that they're actually in the building, but they're actually meeting on a regular basis and having a passive recreational activity.
Okay.
There are certain classes that have come through that the seniors were very instrumental in bringing through Cuesta College to the emeritus program, and that is just a host of different classes from drawing to watercoloring to music appreciation to yoga, and they are very extensive and very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several activities you may not have thought they're not offered by our department, but they're offered by our department through the senior center that's run by the Senior Citizens Incorporated.
Okay.
Have done a wonderful job. So
and they take place in Morro Bay?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of them take place at the community center.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also warranted, they have trips that they take, and that Dharma's been a leader on for many, many excursions at various places. Okay. And so when there's a need, they come to the board, or someone will say something, and then they'll kind of gather up to speed, and if they need to bring us in as a city to help them out, we do. If they want to do a standalone program, they do that as well.
Okay. The other thing is, too, you know, the seniors are willing to help other organizations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, like when you hold a fundraiser or something like that, you should definitely let them know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because I know when the choir went to New York, I think we put over $1,000 in, over $1,000 in three plane tickets. So, you know, of course, we're going to be a little cut short of the money this month because the city's getting a big hunk of it. But they still have more than enough and they do really like, they were all young and they all had kids and they all had these groups that, like, there's not anything we wouldn't do for the 4-H group.
Right.
You know? Or the FFA group. You know, so it's just a matter of asking for our help, or like when they did the Follies, we furnished all the cookies and the punch. You know, we had a good time doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a resource that doesn't get tapped too often.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking out loud, but I was wondering if there's enough communication going on. Are we providing, Parks and Recs department, are they providing the services that the seniors want to see, or are there things that we haven't thought about that are could be made available?
And I think it's pretty much basically covered. Don't you?
It's my experience that the seniors have been pretty local. I mean, since I've sat on the commission, it's my experience that when they want something, they feel like they feel very comfortable stepping forward and asking for it. I mean, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I wish more people felt that way, because then, you know, that need gets filled. I think they do a good job of letting us know that they have a need.
Yeah. Okay.
When they do.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Motion to accept D1, 2, and 3 for file from somebody?
I'll second.
Discussion? None? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. D4, senior representative report?
The seniors are taking a trip to Chumash on the 7th of February, and it's open to the public. 9th of February. It's Monday. And we've seen a really big increase, and I think Joe has brought this out too, with there's not as many kids in the morning program because people are getting laid off, and our food distribution is 5-6 days a week now, and we're getting more and more people there.
Okay.
We don't have anything really else going right now.
Okay. Can I take D5 with D4? Can we do? Okay, so D5 commissioner reports. I have a report from the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which I sit on because I'm your chair here. And so we met today, and we have the Dixon Spaghetti fundraiser coming up. And we will be looking to this commission for commissioner support with that. And that is Friday, the 27th of March. I'll repeat that for the public. Dixon Spaghetti Fundraiser, Friday, March 27th, in the Community Center. So we will be looking for also volunteers to step forward and help with the physical setup. When I say that, I mean the dropping of tables so that we can take some of the burden off of city staff, so that we can actually make more money at the fundraiser instead of having to pay city and take the burden of staffing hours off of the city. Also, we are looking for we're putting a call out for donations, small and large. If you have an extra dollar in your pocket and you'd like to drop it off at Parks and Recs, 100% of the money that we raise goes for scholarships, for youth support for the after-school programs and for the sports programs through Recreation and Parks Department. That's 100% of the funding goes to those youth programs for scholarships for kids who can't afford to do youth programs, and you can drop off any donation that you'd like at the Recreation and Parks Department office, and it will make its way right over to us. Or you can drop it off at City Hall to Bonnie. At City Hall, everybody knows Bonnie. Okay, so that is my report, D5. A motion to accept D4 and 5 for file?
Second.
Any discussion? None? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. There are no public hearings tonight on E, so declaration of future agenda items. I have one thing that I'd like to bring up, Joe, and this is an idea that came up in a discussion last night in my home. As we go forward with the Coleman Park planning, I'd like to see if we could, as a commission, bring back to discuss reaching out to Cal Poly, not so much in the design portion, but in their agricultural department. Perhaps that area down there, since they don't have any waterfront land, any beach property, a thought came to mind last night that it might be unique to have their agricultural department do an extension of their botanical gardens out here as a coastal range and have part of Coleman Park and the natural scape of the beach be under their care purview to actually pick some of the burden off of city staff and also offer Cal Poly a unique opportunity to do a beach program, and I think offer something unique for our city, something for us to discuss, maybe bring back as an agenda item.
Staff would be happy to bring that back. Just as a bit of a background for what we are doing right now, we are working with Cal Poly. We had mentioned that earlier about the design at Target mm-hmm. Park, and that presentation was given to staff early in December. I think the hard copy is coming to us. There's six different designs that the students proposed, and those designs will be available to this commission hopefully next week. As soon as we get them, we'll let you know what we're doing. We also have continued our working with, this is the landscape architectural group, so branching out to the ag group is something the staff will certainly look into. The next class is going to be doing some grant writing, and the grant writing, the professor wants to do something real, so we've tapped into, I believe it's Proposition 84, which is a competitive grant, and the state grants and local services office is presenting various technical assistance workshops throughout the state. One in our area is going to be February the 5th at the City County Library in San Luis Obispo. Staff has signed up, myself, as well as 20 members of this particular Cal Poly class and their professor.
Wow.
So we're hoping that they get some information from this. This is the Land and Water Conservation Fund. This is an annual program that the OGLS puts on, and hopefully they'll get some information and they can apply to the grants that we're hoping that they can write this competitive grant or assist us for this development of, we're thinking, Target Rock Park, Coleman Park. But right now it's kind of like, it's just a plate that staff would like to keep spinning. It's not a high priority. It's not where we're putting a lot of our efforts, but we are keeping that plate spinning with Cal Poly. It's a relationship that we're trying to nurture, and they've been very responsive. They're using entry-level class as well as upper-level class to develop and design both the Coleman Park and Target Rock Park areas for recreational use. Don't forget, the harbor is very much involved in this area as well, with the boat haul-out, boat repair, and boat storage facility. And they are working with RRM, which is going to benefit the entire program, and trying to get a feel for what the Coastal Commission is up to, if they're going to be accepting some of our proposals and so forth. So we're both kind of just working in parallel, inching along, keeping the ideas going. We have a concept approved, but I think there's some details, and there's some fun exercises for Cal Poly. It's been nice to having this relationship, and I think that Commissioner Solo, you're right, we should definitely continue investigate further avenues, and if Ag can do a botanical gardens on a saltwater, seawater front, that would be something that would be noteworthy and would bring visitors to our community and enhance the waterfront area, and just like the Harbor Walk has done. So anything we can do down there, I think, is a benefit to the city as a whole. So staff would certainly consider this and bring it back to you as a future agenda item.
I know Cal Poly has satellite properties, agricultural properties. They have the wine vineyards down south, and they have some places east, but I don't believe that they have anything on the coast, and that's where the thought came from. So if it's something that we bring back, that
certainly
would be great.
And I appreciate you letting me indulge you in a little bit of more of what we were doing, and not just on the future agenda item. So I appreciate your time.
Okay. Any other future?
Last thing. Yeah. Sorry, one last future thing. Have we set a date for the our Big Bash in July, the marketing event?
We have targeted one of three different Saturdays, and I don't have that date with me. We will certainly have an update for you at our next.
Should we set a date for the next meeting? But by the next meeting,
I think we have a date.
We haven't specified which.
We have a choice of three. Staff has not. We haven't narrowed it down to one yet.
Okay.
If you would like me to bring that back with a little more information, if you'd like to meet with staff, we could bring something a little more formal to the commission at the next meeting, February.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Certainly, we'll do that.
Any other future agenda items? Okay. With that, I am looking for motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a nice night.